This podcast is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network, and it's also proud to be from Texas. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
This is the 2v2 podcast. Daddy, Dave,
and Steve are awesome.
Yeah, no, exactly. Like,
get out of my head, Daddy. God.
The difference is that, like, you know, even though, like, I mean, this is a small card table, so what, we're like maybe 3 feet away at tops, yeah. 2.5 feet away or whatever. But with the headphones, it just, A, kind of makes you feel like at least a little bit professional, but like.
It just kind of locks you in.
Yeah.
You feel like we're connected now.
Oh, geez.
Like, I'm not going to. Oh. It's not like I am. You know, you can wander off when you're like even just talking on the phone.
Oh yeah, yeah,
no,
yeah.
This is a different experience. I mean,
than oh yeah, yeah, most definitely
chatting because you know I'm not a good phone talker.
I'm not either. I get distracted whenever I'm on the phone because there's a lot of things that I need to be doing while I'm talking on the phone.
Yeah,
it's what texting works for me, but I don't like texting because like especially if I've got like a long thing to have to say, I don't want to type it all out. That's why the voice messages I love. God, I love voice messages.
Yeah, you've become the master of the voice message.
Yeah.
The Facebook Messenger just is not a really good platform for it, though. It seems like it cuts you off too soon.
It does. It only gives you a minute, but it seems like a lot of those only give you a minute to really get your piece in to say what you need to say or whatever. I guess they feel like people shouldn't go on like 5-minute diatribes when they're trying to explain something to people or tell them a story or whatever.
Yeah, if you're going
to
be talking for 5 minutes, just call somebody.
Right.
Pick up the phone. Let's have some actually. That's the crazy thing.
Like just
we get my daughter her phone a few years back.
Yeah.
Because, you know, well, she needs it because she might need it for emergencies. Well, no, it's not for emergencies. It's for looking at stuff and texting it. I'm like, she had this, her best friend. I'm like, why don't you just call your friend and ask her? She hasn't responded to your text. Just call her. What? No, I'm like, you know, you can do voice to voice communication or stuff. She never called anybody.
Yeah.
Unless it's like in a special situation.
Yeah.
Emergency or contacting like her dad's grandmother, her mother and stuff like that. That kind of thing. It's like it never occurs to her to talk to somebody
to like actually pick up the phone and be like, "Hey, this is what I need to do right
all
now."
All of their message, all their contact, and this leads to lots of problems. I've noticed it in my own life. I've noticed it like with my wife. I've noticed it with friends doing it. Messaging. Texting, like all she does is use like they contact through the Snapchat.
Yeah. Oh.
It's so easy.
Yeah.
To take things out of context.
Oh, God, yeah.
Without hearing the person's tone or seeing their face, how they're saying this, how they mean it.
Oh, yeah.
And like, I don't know how many times she's, I'm so mad at somebody. Why? Because she said this. I'm like, that could be taken lots of different ways.
Yeah.
Why don't you ask? No, it becomes a little war, a little witty hits, shots back and forth.
Yeah, I guess it kind of helps them build up their IQ with being able to comebacks and stuff like that.
I guess if you's a comeback, she doesn't.
I mean, it works for me all the time. No, it's kind of funny. Like, you know, you're saying that, like, you know, you should just call somebody on the telephone if you got something to say that's longer than 5 minutes. But I'm just like, dude, that's just too much of a commitment. Like,
it is.
Because then you're like locked in on it. You know, you got to start off, hey, how's it going? And then you got to listen to what they had to tell you first. And then, like, you got to, like, kind of work yourself into a segue of telling the story that you called to tell them about. And then you got to find that awkward way of being like, well, that's all I had to say. So I'm going to get off here now. So,
well, here I am making fun of her and criticizing this millennial generation. And how often do you and I make a phone call?
Never.
We're always like, dude, check this out.
Hell yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's all fair. I'm a hypocrite. I'm coming out New Year. I'm just going to be completely honest.
Coming.
I'm a hypocrite.
Oh, yeah, so am I.
I just love making fun of my kids.
Right. Yeah, no, it's easy. It's fun times. This is your release to make fun of your kid is what it is.
Right.
Because your kid probably doesn't listen, so she'll never hear it.
Oh, God, no. So listen to me. She doesn't listen to me at home.
Right. She's like, why would I want to listen to my dad on a podcast for? That'd just be ridiculous.
It's like we're doing driving practice.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, she's got to listen to me and mom, but it just kills her that we're the authority.
Oh, yeah.
Like, we'd spent like 3 hours yesterday driving around the little town of Bowie.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you, it was intense. But
At least it was Bowie, though, and not Denton or something like
that. Yeah,
or Wichita Falls.
We're not yet moving up to that.
Yeah.
That's the next step.
You haven't got your muscle relaxers in yet, then, is what you're saying.
I need something else. Yeah.
Right.
It's all good.
Yeah.
Happy New Year, Dave.
Happy New Year and all like that good stuff, man. We haven't talked. Well, we have talked personally and saw each other since, Christmas, but we haven't. Welcome to 2BT, everybody. I'm David.
I'm Michael.
We haven't done an official 2BT since before Christmas. Since
right before Christmas, yeah.
Which is ridiculous, almost, because I was off. Dude, I was off of work for like 11 days. I got off on Friday the 21st. Mm-hmm. I saw you on the 22nd. And then I was completely, totally off. I didn't have to go back to work till that Wednesday the 2nd. Yeah.
Time flies, though, man.
Dude, it does.
Still doing the holiday thing. I mean, because I had like, I don't know how many days I had had a commitment to see family and do things.
Oh, yeah.
It gets busy. And then when you're not doing that, everything else piles up. Like, I'm sure you were busy every day doing something that you wanted to do.
Oh, yeah. Well, I spent like 2 days building that X-Wing fighter. And I think I was sent like a bunch of progress photos to you and Steve while I was building
great.
It. Yeah. And then, I spent a lot of time playing video games. And then I should have been orchestrating a roundtable discussion with Ronnie and Martin and you. But instead, I spent a lot of time playing video games and building models, and that's really about it, man. Like,
well, man, it's your vacation.
Yeah, yeah.
And you gotta pursue your own happiness.
Oh yeah, not
liberty, pursuit of happiness,
dude. Most definitely. And speaking of vacation, we're gonna do it real fast because it's getting pretty close to go time. So we're gonna do a countdown. We're waiting on the app to pull up. Oh, there it is. 3 months, 2 days, 17 hours, 28 minutes, and 20 seconds until celebrate. Well, actually, I reset that. So it's 3 months, 2 days, whatever hours and seconds and day, whatever, till I actually leave to go to celebration. So I got a new phone that was freaking awesome for like the whole, like, I won't say it was got it for Christmas because I just got it last Monday. So I'm still trying to figure everything out on it.
Mm-hmm.
Got a new phone, and so whenever I got a new phone, my last one had been like screwing up, and something about like I got in on the iPhone early. Like I had a generation one iPhone. I had a Gen 1 iPhone. I still got it. It's still in there, and it still actually works.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I can't make a call on it or anything like that because it's not registered to the system or anything like that. Plus, the technology's so old, I don't even know if it would work with the AT&T system anymore or whatever, because that's the carrier that I use. So somehow, like whenever I first initially signed up, I had an old email address, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not going to say what that email address is because, well, I guess I could, but I'm not going to. Anyways, I had an old email address that I had signed everything up with. Well, shortly afterwards, I signed up with a Gmail account. Well, couple of years down the road, they basically took all that stuff from beforehand and wiped it all out and started like the whatever at me.com for the Apple stuff. Yeah. Like everything's like whatever your name here or your handle or whatever at me.com. So I switched everything to that and all like this. Well, somehow wires got crossed. And all like that. So if I try to sync my phone to my computer, like actually hard sync it or whatever, it's going to want to back everything up from my old phone onto that. And then it kind of like gets everything screwed up. Like I'm even kind of confused about it. And I'm pretty sure that everybody else is confused by the story that I'm telling right now. Because like I said, I don't even really know what happened. I don't even know what goes on. But if I hook that guy up to the computer, then everything's going to get screwed up. And it's going to ask me to keep on logging in and logging in and logging in. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's going
to give me a headache.
Yeah.
You're supposed to be able to hook it up to sync your music and stuff.
But with the newer stuff, I just sync it. I just go ahead and save it to the cloud. Whenever I save it to the cloud, it goes straight to the computer. So, So that works. So that definitely gets me kind of around that whole thing, but it just means that all the pictures and things like that I had on my old phone that was bogging down my old phone because it was like 64 gigs and I was having to like delete stuff before I could even put anything on it.
Yeah.
You know, And everything that I had on my old phone is now basically gone, except for like music, books, and things like that, because all I had to do, like with Audible, the Audible app, you know, is amazing. So all I had to do is download the Audible app, sign into it, and boom, there's all my books.
Yeah, 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 it's great.
And which was really cool, because since I'd gone through the Red Rising, but The Expanse, I've gone through all The Expanse. I'm up to date with you now.
Yeah.
I'd restarted Red Rising because I couldn't think of what to listen to. I thought about going back through the Dresden Files because you're on the Dresden Files right now. Mm-hmm. But like, I was like, man, if I do that, it's going to take a while for me to get caught up. And by the time I get caught up with you, you're probably switched over to something else.
Yeah, because I think I just finished book 9.
Yeah.
And something. Each book gets a little bit longer and longer.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was like, if once I get caught up to Michael, The Expanse will probably be back out. Mm-hmm. Or if not The Expanse, then the next Red Rising book will be back out. So we'll be back on that. So I just decided to start back up Red Rising. So anyways, I'd started Red Rising right before I left work for Christmas break.
Uh-huh.
So I was maybe like 3-4 hours into the book. I download the app, pull it up, hit play on it on Wednesday at work, and it says, "We noticed that your last location was this on another device. Mm-hmm. Would you like to pick up from there?" Well, yes, I would. Yeah. So I picked up immediately where I'd left off at. To me, that technology is awesome because it was just like a little bookmark that was like, "Hey, this isn't your book, but we found this book, and this is the page that you were on. Would you like to start from there?" And it's like, yeah, I would. This is cool.
Yeah, yeah. The whole, like, on my phone, like, I use the Google Chrome
yeah.
to search for stuff. And we've been watching some shows, and I don't have a smart TV. I have to hook my computer up if I want to access, like, Hulu.
Oh, okay. You know,
we watched that interactive Black Mirror movie.
Oh, okay.
And I had to get my... It's a choose your own adventure.
What?
Literally.
I did not know
that. That's the one I talked to y'all mentioned the other day. It's like blew my mind. It starts out, dang it, I forgot the name of it.
Black Mirror?
It's Black Mirror, but the name of it is
Bandersnatch.
Yeah. And it starts out, and not every choice is consequential. Like, the first choice you make is what kind of cereal do you want for breakfast? And we did it. We went back. We spent like 6 hours, 5 hours probably, because we got stuck. We failed, you know, because in a Choose Your Own Adventure, I used to love those books when I was a kid.
Oh, yeah.
Read them all the time.
Yeah.
And I would like to read them again. I wish they would do like this.
Adult.
Based on a big like 600, 700 page, this guy that had written it, and it drove him mad. That's what Bandersnatch is. It's a book written by this guy. This kid is obsessed with it. He was making a video game back in the 80s. So low-level Atari-like technology or software. But it's a choose-your-own-adventure. And the movie that you're watching is choose-your-own-adventure.
Okay.
And it messes with you a lot. Some things really important get really gross and violent.
Yeah.
And I'm like... The three of us, my wife, my daughter, and I, were like, okay, we're going to take turns making a decision. And it came to my turn one time. I'm just, I'm not going to make this choice because both options were horrific. And I'm like, I'm not going to be the deciding factor of whether I cut this dude up or bury him. I'm not doing that as a human being. But we had to do it. And it's really, I don't know how much I enjoyed the actual movie as a movie, as a piece of work, like going and watching whatever.
Yeah.
And saying, well, that's really entertaining. Or how much I enjoyed the possibility that this is as a technology and storytelling, interactive storytelling. Like I said, reading these books as a kid, it gave me an option to go on an adventure.
Yeah.
And my decisions had consequences. Some books were so interactive, you actually had a dice you could roll.
Oh, wow.
A map you could follow.
Yeah. That's really cool, man.
But it's seamless.
Yeah.
Your choices, it pops up two choices in the bottom. You choose one, and it is seamless.
Oh, wow.
In the way the movie flows.
Huh.
Yeah.
That sounds really cool, man. I did not know that was a choose-your-own-adventure. I remember getting a text from you asking about we'd watch a Black Mirror Bandersnatch. And I saw that or whatever, but... I did not know that it was a choose-your-own-adventure. I'm going to have to check that out soon.
We hit almost every ending possible in it, not knowing we'd hit the endings, because it's kind of like when you're doing a choose-your-own-adventure book.
Yeah.
You have an option. You go back to the beginning and try to learn, or they have the option of you go back almost to the beginning, or you can just go back to your last decision.
Yeah.
And it all makes the difference. If you go back to here, I'm not trying to spoil it for everybody. There's an early decision you make early on, whether you go to work at this place or you work from home.
Okay.
If you choose to go to, it's not a big deal because this is really early on.
Yeah.
If you choose to go to work at the place, it's end of the movie.
Oh, wow.
Pretty much. You failed.
Yeah.
So, but if you make the right decision and don't go to work at the place and decide to work from home, the movie proceeds at this level.
Yeah.
If you go back and say, go back and you make the right decision to work from home, it changes because you've had this interaction in this reality. The person in the other reality knows things that they didn't know before.
Oh, wow.
That's crazy. Yeah, it gets really complicated because it comes up to this idea of multiverses.
Yeah.
Multiple realities and how each decision point you make splits off to another alternate reality. So saying my decision to come see you today, well, then another reality, there's me sitting on the couch watching
Letterkenny.
Yeah, Letterkenny. Something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
But I don't even know how we got started on that, but it's about technology and TV.
Yeah, and movies.
Movies.
Speaking of movies, I think the last time that we talked, we were getting ready to go see They Shall Not Grow Old. That was the weekend before we went to go see They Shall Not Grow Old.
That's
so,
right.
Wow, so it's been almost a month since we
recorded. So I've been saying, I told Paul that my two favorite movies, and I was wrong.
Yeah.
The two favorite films that I saw, fiction films, I guess, dramas or whatever, were still Quiet Place.
Oh, yeah.
And Ballad of Buster Scruggs.
Okay.
Those still stand out to me as the two things that I enjoyed the most.
Yeah.
But the best film, and it's a documentary, is this film you and I went to watch, and it, the experience of it really blew me away.
Oh, God, yeah.
So you set it up and kind of you take off here and tell us, kind of explain to people kind of how they did this.
Well, they initially took the ArcLight, the original ArcLight. I guess I'll go to the beginning of it. And the beginning of the film, the movie, whatever you want to call it, had an interview with Peter Jackson. We saw it at Cinemark in Denton, and it was
Like a really nice guy.
He does seem like a really nice, just kind of soft spoken, normal kind of dude. And then you look at his resume of films that he's done, and Meet the Feebles and things like that, and you're like, holy crap, that came from that guy's brain. But it was Phantasm. It was Phantasm. Isn't it Phantasm or whatever? Or Fathom.
Fathom
event. It was a Fathom event at Cinemark. And so we got tickets to go see it. Anyways, the film starts up with a little 5-minute interview with Peter Jackson. And it started off with him, and he said that the British Royal the British Royal Imperial Museum. Came to him and asked him to make a documentary out of this ArcLight footage that they had from World War I. And now that's the old school, the very old school, the big, heavy, crank-operated.
And if you've ever seen that, that stuff is usually really either played back too fast or too slow.
Oh,
it's kind of jumpy, very scratchy. You can't see any detail. And, of course, no sound.
Yeah, and anytime you see them walking, it kind of looks like they're walking in fast forward. exactly. And so they came to him and asked him to make a documentary. And I can't remember exactly what it was that they said. That they said that they didn't want it to be a typical documentary or something like that.
Yeah, they wanted something different.
And so he said that he took some time to think about it because he wasn't sure if he'd be able to do it. He's like, well, how do you
do something different about World War I?
Exactly. And so he thought about it and thought about it and thought about it. And of course, he decided to say yes, because it was going to be released for 2018, the 100-year anniversary of the end of World War I. Mm-hmm. And so they gave him, I can't remember how many hours. I know he said, I think it was hundreds of hours of this ArcLight footage from World War I, and he basically took it, and then he cleaned it all up, and then ran it through an HD digitizer or whatever.
Yeah, and he actually got a team of people. He found a team in Australia.
Yeah.
In Australia, New Zealand. Australia.
Well, it's New Zealand. New Zealand. It's actually his company that
New Zealand. And he's like, he went to them and said, and it's not like he did it himself.
Yeah.
He actually found a team, got assembled a team of people with his film company, said, what can we do?
Yeah.
And they came up with something and, you know, okay, the film starts out and it's like, oh, it's black and white. Well, that's really cool. Okay, this is what this is going to be. They really cleaned up this black and white footage really well. And this is talking before the outbreak of the war.
Yeah.
And you're seeing all this awesome footage, some cool stories about when the war began, and there's a football game.
Yeah, that still gets on me. It was the soccer game / football game, and he said that they were playing the Germans.
Yeah.
And he said that they were at breakfast with the Germans, and all of a sudden they get the...
They didn't know if they should pull a knife and stab a guy in the throat next to them or finish their breakfast.
And he said that they were at war with the Germans, and he said they didn't know if they should... Yeah,
exactly. They just agreed, let's go play, let's finish this up and go play our game.
Yeah. And then basically after that was all just nothing but war or whatever. Yeah. How long would you say into the film? It was like maybe 15 to 30 minutes.
It follows the people signing. Everybody's so excited to go to war. Oh, yeah. I've always heard this. Oh, I can't wait to get into the war. Cause you've heard all these stories of heroism. Oh, yeah. So they get into, they sign up. They're like 15, 16 signing up, getting cheating because a lot of them were coming from these poor industrial areas of England.
Yeah.
They were malnourished. And boot camp, they actually grew an inch or two and gained 20 pounds or more. So they actually got a lot of better health just by being in that. Mm-hmm. But as soon as they actually hit the field,
it switched
in combat. Yeah. It burst into color.
Oh, and it was like, I guess it gives me chill bumps, man. Look at that. Like,
it was an amazing thing to see that, because I thought all along, okay, they've done a great job. I've never seen such good footage. They had, in every interview, the only voices you hear throughout the movie.
Yeah, are the storytellers, the movie that the
actual veterans of World War I from Great Britain.
And the audio on that, like, they didn't just spend hours cleaning up the video footage and digitizing this video footage and actually making it in 3D also. But they took God knows how many hours and cleaned up this audio to where it sounded amazing, to where, you know, a lot of these old recordings you hear, and it sounds kind of like this, and they're kind of talking, and you can't really understand what they're saying because it's an old recorder, and it's on a reel-to-reel or whatever. You know, but with that audio recording, it sounded very, very clear. I mean, not as clear as what you and I are talking about now.
I was wondering, was it all, or was some of that recreated? Like,
I think it was all actual recording that they've just kind of run through processors and filters.
That was really amazing.
Yeah, I'd have to look that up.
I was impressed with the thought that they actually were able to like do a recreation to match up. If they actually were able to clean that up that well,
that's
fantastic.
Well, I mean, they were able to do that with the Arclight film, so I don't see why they wouldn't be able to do it with the audio. Well,
another thing, this movie is not a movie about the First World War.
No.
You're not getting a history lesson.
Yeah.
Per se. Like Archduke Franz Ferdinand got shot and then the nations, you don't get an in-depth like diplomacy and global history of how the war broke out really.
Yeah.
Basically you're just following the average English lad as he decides to sign up.
Yeah. And they said that just kind of backtracking a little bit, the age limit for the English army at that point in time was 19 to 35. Mm-hmm. But they had kids coming in. They said that they'd have kids come in to try to sign up that were 14 years old, and they'd walk in, they said, how old are you? And they'd say, oh, I'm 14. And they're like, go back outside and come back in. And they go back outside and come back in and say, how old are you? And they'd say, they're 19, and they'd sign up. And then, they didn't come back
when you've aged a little bit. So they go back out and age a little bit.
Yeah. And then so they, the fact that they only had one uniform blew my mind. Mm-hmm. You know, actually hearing the veterans talk about like, oh, well, you know, when I first signed up, you know, Tommy over there, he had the boots and the coat, but he didn't have the pants. Well, I had the pants and the belt, but yet I didn't have the boots or the coat and all like this. And it took them like weeks to get their full entire uniform. And then what was it like? I think it's like 3 months of training.
Something like that.
And then they were shipped off to the front.
Yeah. And you know, we've talked a lot about World War One over last year.
Oh, yeah.
And we talk about the horrors of war, how we, you know, you hear about it and you read about it. The stuff, hearing an actual veteran.
Yeah.
Telling you the story of what happened and then seeing it with your own eyes. The ghastly, can't even impart. I've left feeling so sick of seeing so much death.
Yeah.
And they were, it was just like dead bodies just left everywhere.
Yeah.
Cause what are you going to do?
You can't clear them out. Mm-mm. Yeah. And especially in like no man's land or whatever, you know, I keep saying that, like, obviously World War One isn't really touched on here in history classes, especially in high school and things like that. It's something you have to seek out yourself to really get a good education on World War One. Yeah, and that just goes to the fact that in World War One we didn't really participate in it very well. Like we had mentioned on the last podcast that we were still a very America first type thing, that we didn't want to get involved in anything at all. And so we got into World War One late. So to me, that's kind of the reason why we don't really teach World War One here, because it didn't involve us until the very end. So it's something that I've always been curious about. And I know that you said you've been curious about it for a really long time. But after going in and seeing this movie, like whenever I left, I kind of had that feeling of like being exposed to too much, too fast. Too soon.
It was really hard. I mean, we're riding back together.
Yeah.
It was really hard to talk about it.
Yeah. Yeah, it was.
Because you were just put through something that didn't feel almost like you shouldn't be.
Yeah.
This is like something.
It's
like
a very intimate feeling that you witnessed something that you shouldn't have witnessed because you weren't there and you were watching it on a screen. And it was an intimate feeling of like, this shouldn't have, not in a bad way, you know, not in like like an intrusion way.
Well, you're not watching it and enjoying it, because there's nothing to enjoy about seeing this.
Oh, God.
At the same time, it's like you're getting an experience of something that, you know, that old saying of William Tecumseh Sherman, war is hell. That was hell on earth.
Oh, God, yeah.
The trenches of World War One were hell on earth.
Yeah. And just,
You and I cannot even describe, trying to repeat the things we heard, how horrific and disgusting it was in the trenches.
No, God, yeah. And the fact that they didn't have, you know, modern warfare, even in World War II, they had latrines. They'd have a special place where they, special places where they went to go take a crap or whatever.
They even showed that.
Yeah, they showed these guys.
About six guys sitting on a log.
Sitting on a log above a pit and, you know, with their trousers down around their ankles, hanging their butts off the log and pooping. And they said that, you know, it was horrible when the log broke and you took a dip into the cesspool, basically, because. And they said those guys would come out covered in muck and they just had to deal with it.
They had no way to get clean.
Yeah, until their week off the line was over with. Yeah. Because isn't that what they said? They spend a week up on the line and then they rotate off and take something a week like off.
That, yeah.
A week up on the line and rotate off. But, yeah, one of the things, and it's still like, and since you said lots of horses, even though I was still kind of like segue on the poop, into this, because still, and you and I talked about it after the movie, like one of the things that probably affected me the most was the grapeshot artillery that like burst above the ground. And then, like, did a scatter shot. And it's grape shot, scatter shot,
whatever you call it. Shotgun going off above you.
Yeah, a shotgun going off above you. And they showed these horses on a supply train and one of those grape shots going off, the scatter shot going off above them.
Just nothing but smoke.
Yeah. And then, you know, the smoke clears and you see the horses and one of them's writhing on the ground and another, I think it's
trying to get up
and couldn't. I think it cut right before, but there was a guy
who's going to shoot in the head.
Yeah. Walking up to put it out of his misery. You know, that was probably one of the toughest scenes of the entire thing, because it's kind of funny that whenever you think of that you can see all this other carnage, even though it's like kind of hard to witness and kind of hard to take, that one of the toughest things that affects you is because of an animal, because it's just an animal. It's doing its job that you're telling it to do, you know? Yeah, man, it was just, It was rough. It was, like I said, it was one of those, that even the next day whenever I went back to work, you know, and I had a buddy of mine there at work that really wanted to see it. And so he was like, how is it? How is it? How is it? And I told him, I was like, look, go see it. You need to see it. Everybody needs to see this.
Yeah.
Everybody. Everybody needs to see this. I cannot wait for this movie to be released. Hopefully it'll be released on some sort of version for me to buy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because I feel like just about everybody needs to see this movie.
Yeah.
Because it just needs to be taught. It needs to be told. Because if not, we're destined to repeat our failures.
Yeah. You know? It's this is the reality, and this is Call of Duty.
Yeah.
I mean, Call of Duty's fun to play.
Oh, hell yeah.
I love playing Call of Duty.
I'm playing Battlefield 5 right now.
It's a game.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Neither of us ever served in the military.
No.
Had to know what it's like. We have family members that have.
Oh, God, yeah.
But, yeah. Yeah. I don't know why I don't want to get too much into it. But, yeah, it's like people need to know this is what it is.
Yeah.
You know? The same thing. You watch shows about Vietnam. There have been documentaries already about Iraq, Afghanistan that are amazing, showing what our troops have done.
Oh, yeah.
And what they have to go through. And this is like whenever we make a decision to do something, these are the faces that are actually going out and doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
Your neighbor, your neighbor's kid, your neighbor's grandson, granddaughter.
Yeah.
They're the ones that are actually going to – we'll go back to World War One. They were the fodder for the bullets.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And it's like I said, it's just one of those that it was powerful. It was like, as I tell everybody, it was basically life changing, man. Like it was definitely something different, something to behold. And it's one of those that if you see it playing in your area, go see it because it's a spectacle to behold on the big screen.
And, you know, there was a thing at the very beginning, right before, was it before or after Peter Jackson started talking? And I thought it was part of it. It was actually about the need, how they're trying to get a World War One memorial.
Oh, yeah.
Of all the wars that we have participated in. You know, we've got the Vietnam Memorial.
Yeah.
World War II. There's memorials for everything. And of course, throughout the South, we've got all kinds of memorials to the Civil War.
Controversial.
That's a controversial subject.
Yeah.
But there's no World War One, First World War memorial for the Doughboys.
Yeah.
And that little, what would you say, 5-minute little commercial, I guess it would be, seat was really good in itself.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah. And I think, I don't know if that was part of the movie or not. I think it might have just been like a sponsor or whatever.
A sponsor,
yeah. Yeah. I wish I could remember the name of the website because I remember seeing it now and like I just told myself, I was like, I need to go there and make a donation, even if it's just like $20.
I'm sure if you just put First World War or World War One Memorial, you can find that.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's a.
But it's one of those that I didn't even know. I mean, but I realized that there wasn't a World War II memorial until I think it was Steven Spielberg and Tom Hanks spearheaded it.
Yeah.
You know, and that was right there at about the same time that Saving Private Ryan came out.
That was another transformative movie.
Saving Private Ryan. Yeah.
I don't think anybody ever captured the battlefield experience quite like that.
No.
Because I remember coming out of that movie feeling kind of,
yeah,
kind of weak, kind of shaken by what I just saw. Just the first 15 minutes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, just the first 15 minutes where they're storming the beach there in Normandy. And you're seeing, you know, that. And, it's kind of like They Shall Not Grow Old, where, like, at the movie, as the movie ends, there's not a lot of talking and cutting up and, like, goofing around and all like this stuff. You know, it's just...
Yeah, the movie begins with everybody, hey, let's go. And then they're coming back. And, you know, one scene, and I commented to you after we watched it, you always hear about the shakes and the shell shock. And we both caught this. There's a guy walking along.
Yeah.
And he's smoking a cigarette, and his hand is just trembling. He's got a smile on his face.
Yeah.
But he can't stop shaking.
Yeah.
From what he's gone through. And this is after they're leaving, you know, going back home.
Oh, yeah. This was there towards the end or whatever. And it was.
And basically, they get shipped back. They get off the ship. They go into like this warehouse building. They give them clothes. And see ya. They send them back home.
Yeah. That was it. Just, okay, you're done. Give us your uniform and everything else. And here's your free street clothes that we give you. And that was basically it. But yeah, it was definitely one of those that was like, wow, like definitely life changing.
It was definitely the greatest thing I watched last year.
Yeah, that's the same here. Same here by far. And I didn't go to the movies many times. You know,
no, most of the ones I watch are at home.
Yeah.
You know, we went and saw Ready Player One.
Yeah.
Which is a great movie.
Yeah, it's all Solo.
Solo, which is a great movie.
Yeah. And then that one, that's basically it. I did see Happy Time Murders with a buddy of mine, which was super funny. It's definitely
one I've not watched yet. I know it looks funny.
It's raunchy.
Over the top.
Yeah. It is.
The girl with the dragon. The girl who kicked a hornet's nest.
Yeah.
My wife and I went to watch with our oldest daughter. It's a really good movie. Watch it when it comes out streaming.
And that's the continuation of Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
Kind of a reboot of it. But yeah, it is a continuation. It's based on something else.
Yeah.
Claire Foy from The Crown
is the
lady.
Yeah.
Vigilante kind of superstar. But she was great in that. Hostiles. We watched it. That was a really good movie.
That was a really good one, man. I'm trying to think of what all I watched this year, man. It's kind of tough. I can't remember.
It's hard to remember everything.
It is.
I reached out and just, not even for the show, I wanted people to, and I've got it, I could look it up, but maybe another time, some people were kind enough to tell me what their favorite things they watched this movie.
Oh, wow. Was. Okay, yeah.
Michael Abbey from the Wrestling Insomniac podcast and What Did You Watch This Week gave me a really good list.
Oh, really?
That I definitely want to hit up everything he shared. I don't have it in front of me. I could share it later. But
we can get it next week or something like that.
Yeah. I was just like, what did you enjoy the most? Because the best movie of the year was, I don't watch enough movies. I can't tell you this is the best movie. I know the best movie I saw.
I can tell you what my favorite movie of the year was, but what? I can't tell you like the best movie that I saw. My favorite movie of the year was They Shall Not Grow Old.
Yeah, yeah.
And then coming in second would be Solo. I really enjoyed the story of Solo, and I think that it would have done great. I think in my personal opinion, this is just my personal opinion, and it doesn't mean a thing whatsoever. If they would have waited to release that in December instead of in May, following The Last Jedi, I think that it would have done great. I think you would be staring at a completely, totally different box office numbers and all like that with that movie. Just to give people time to calm down because there was such a divide after The Last Jedi.
The screenwriter tweeted out last month, pretty much, Lawrence Kasdan tweeted out.
Yeah.
Father of Jonathan. They worked on it together, I guess.
Yeah.
He tweeted out, said, I wonder how it would have changed things if it had was coming out today.
Oh, really?
And it was like the day that normally the movies are released.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And then I was listening to a podcast by the Star Wars Daily Podcast I've talked about.
Yeah.
Adam Voivod. What a cool name, Voivod.
I know, right?
There was also
an 80s metal band with Voivod.
Voivod, yeah. Yeah. He brought up the same thing. He's like, it could have really changed everything.
I think so. I think it would have because, like, you know, it was just too close after such a division in fandom after, you know, the whole thing with The Last Jedi and you know, that really separated fandom out a lot because people got really, really, really intensely mad at one another. Well, you like The Last Jedi? I can't believe you. How can you like The Last Jedi? Well, how can you not like The Last Jedi? To where it's just like, yeah, just calm down, guys. We're all still fans. Just because you don't like a movie doesn't mean you're not a fan of the series or whatever. I can sit here and say, like, I'm not a huge fan of Attack of the Clones, but yet I'll sit there and watch all the prequels together because I like the way that the story falls in line. You know, you can't just start off and have a war. You've got to have trade negotiations and crap like that, like disputes, and that's how war starts. You know, it's not just like, oh, war.
Yeah. But kind of over everybody's.
No, this is the same here.
I value people's opinions and I want to hear it. Oh, you didn't like it. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
I get that.
I like that.
There were a lot of, after the immediate reaction to watching like The Last Jedi.
Yeah.
And then I was like, okay, yeah, this kind of, that could have been, it could have been better.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But what movie can you not say that
everything could have been better? Except for The Godfather.
Yeah.
One or two. So those can't be any better.
You went on a Godfather kick.
I'll talk about that in a second here.
Oh, yeah.
But people's opinions, we spout out our opinions here, and we don't expect anybody to agree with us. But we're not going to beat you up if you disagree with us.
Well, Michael won't. I will.
I'll
punch it down.
My wife got me. We weren't supposed to give each other gifts, right?
Yeah.
So I, of course, got her something, a little thing.
You're a smart man. Yeah.
And she got me this book. It's an autobiography, a memoir by Jeff Tweedy.
Okay.
And I know you're familiar with him and Wilco. I don't know if you are or not.
Not really. The name kind
of
rings
a bell. One of my favorite. Ever since the 90s, he's one of my favorite. Oh, not 90s. It's 2001.
Okay.
This is a whole other thing. I could send you down a story about how their album Yankee Hotel Foxtrot came out on September 11th, 2001. And let's just say their sales weren't that good because of, anyhow. And then there's a whole other interesting story. And it, needless to say, working in a bookstore, but it was on the playlist for the store. And it got ingrained in my head. And months, like 2 or 3 months after, like every day, I'm like, who is that band?
Yeah.
Wilco. I went, and then from that moment on, I like, of course, got their back catalog and have followed them ever since. It's like they're one of my, for the rest of my life, I will be listening to this band.
Okay.
The leader of the band is Jeff Tweedy.
Yeah.
He's written a memoir. And one of the things he says in it, he's like dealing, like a few months after his father's death, sitting by his dad's bed and watching his father die, he's talking with his son, and he tells his son, the son asks him something about something, people's opinion, how reacting to people's criticisms of your art.
Yeah.
He's like, you can't pants me anymore. He explains that later in the book, in that passage, like, I don't care about anybody's opinion. I care about what I'm doing. And if it feels right to me, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
You know, and that's a toughness that a lot of people don't have.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Whether they're creators or, you know, even just consumers, it's hard for people to hear. And I got to admit, it hurts sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
Like you watch a movie,
hear truth or
you enjoy it, and they're like, that's a bunch of BS.
Yeah.
I'm like, what? You're stupid for wanting, liking that. I'm like, you know what? I don't care. That's fine. You hate it.
Yeah.
You hate it a little bit too much if you're attacking me for liking it. I like it. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
He's like, the guy's, it's the perfect book for me because the guy's thought process, the way his head works, it's like his wife will take him to a party and it's like he's standing there and he's not much of a small talk person. I'm not either.
Yeah.
And he's like, someone will come and say, how about them Cubs? Because they're from the Chicago area.
Okay.
And what he wants to say is, you know what? I don't really care because every one of those guys is about to die. Well, let's talk about this. The fact that every player on the Cubs will be dead someday.
Yeah.
And does this really matter how they're doing this year? That's the kind of guy he is.
Okay.
So he's really, he goes a little bit too deep.
Yeah.
But, you know, I love that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, it's always better to have a conversation that actually means something instead of just like BSing about like the weather or whatever. Which,
by the way, how about them Cowboys?
Oh, dude, they about gave me 4 heart attacks last night and like just about killed me last night there in the last 2 minutes with letting
Seattle
score.
That was a big win for them, right?
It was, man. First playoff win in quite a while.
Yeah.
So, you know, besides having like bye weeks and stuff like that or whatever. But yeah, that's the first playoff win in quite a while. So, yeah, it's good times.
But yeah, I went on my tirade about that. That's one of those things. I don't know if you do resolutions or not, but one of my resolutions is, ongoing resolution is, I don't care.
And
gotta give up.
Welcome to the club, dude. I've been like that. And in fact, I've got a buddy of mine who it drives him up the wall. It's my buddy Ashley. And if he doesn't listen, so it doesn't matter. Yeah. Even though I've tried to get him to listen all the time. He's like one of my best friends.
But I know that dude.
So he like it drives him up the wall that like he'll be like, oh, well, blah, 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 blah. It's like, I don't care. And he's like, well, what, you care about anything? I'm like, yeah, I care about stuff that matters, but I'm not going to care about somebody's opinion about what it is that I'm doing. Because you know what? As long as I'm comfortable and I'm happy, I don't give a crap.
Yeah.
That's why I own a pair of Crocs. You know, like, Are they ugly? Hell yeah, they're ugly. But are they comfortable? Hell yeah, they're comfortable. And I get those insulated ones for the wintertime, and it's great.
Yeah.
It's amazing, man. You need to get you a pair of Crocs, dude.
That's on my list of things to do. Because every time I come over, you mention how... And it's not... This is no lie. I'm not lying to you.
Yeah.
We'll come... This is the routine. I'll come in... sit on the couch. Dave's sitting in his comfy chair, recliner.
It's all broken.
Got his feet up. And almost once every time we get together, he's like, man, these Crocs are so comfortable.
Dude, I'm telling you, man. Like, it's so stupid. Like, it's one of the most ridiculous things in the world.
It's like you're proselytizing for the first church of Crocs.
I'm the first apostle of Croc.
Yeah.
I need to get 11 buddies. There we go.
So, Christmas, the week after Christmas.
Yeah.
And this was not my idea. The Godfather was on one of the TV channels, right? And it was like the last 4 minutes of The Godfather, it's the famous scene where Michael Corleone is at the church becoming the godfather to his nephew.
Yeah. And I've never seen The Godfather. No, you're good.
You need to.
Yeah, you're
and good. This is a thing.
Yeah.
My wife really could probably have given two flips about watching it, but she watched that scene. It's like, maybe we should watch The Godfather.
Yeah.
That's how powerful it is, because it's a lot going on. She watched 3 minutes of it. She's like, I need to see this. A lot of people say it's one of the best movies ever made.
Oh well, it's
in fact the first two Godfathers.
The lineup of actors that's in it is pretty freaking amazing.
Second movie with De Niro. So we recorded. I set the thing, and I had the first movie on DVD. The second movie I recorded, and we came home from doing what we were going to do and watched it. And it's for those that don't know, it follows the story, two storylines. One is Michael Corleone growing deeper into darkness.
Yeah.
The Godfather. And the other storyline is that of his father and his rise from poverty, having to flee Sicily, moving to America, and his rise to power.
Okay.
And that part of the movie, the second movie, is my favorite part because it's De Niro's so good in it.
Yeah.
And Pacino's so good as
Michael. So De Niro plays Brando's part from the first movie?
Yes.
Okay.
And the first movie, of course, you got Brando, and Brando's still Brando, just great.
Oh, God, yeah.
Magnificent. So what we did was we watched the second movie, watched the first movie, and then just because we had to, we watched the third movie.
Okay.
A lot of people liked the third movie, and something about it always felt wrong to me. And by the end of it, it's like, I'm glad we watched it, but at the same time, it's like, it did not capture there's something magical about the first two Godfather movies.
Yeah.
And if you sit down and watch them unbothered by or undistracted, most people, I think, will get it because he does. There's a lot of choices Coppola made in it. Like, most people would not do a 20-minute scene about a wedding.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, why are you wasting so much film time on this stuff? But it all sets the tone so well. Like, all this is going on. And then, meanwhile, Vito Corleone, the Godfather's, because it's his daughter's wedding day. You can't say.
And
people are coming in. He's like,
you come to me on the day of my daughter's wedding.
So you know this without even watching it
because it's so ingrained in pop culture, you know.
If you had come to me as a friend, I would do this. This I cannot do. I'm not a killer.
Yeah.
What do you want me to do? Please. Anyhow, it's just great. And my wife we watched it because of her, and I'd never like pushed the issue of watching the Godfather movies and, you know, like a decade of marriage.
Oh yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And she loved it. And for her to love it,
it has to be pretty damn good.
Yeah. She's not going to just jump on the bandwagon for anything.
Yeah. That's pretty
50 years later or whatever.
Yeah, no, exactly, man. Because I think the first Godfather movie was like 73.
Yeah. And then the next one was up, and then like 15 years after the second one, they made the third one.
But even though I do know, like basically, I won't say the entire lineup of the first one, but I do know it's Robert Duvall.
Yep,
Marlon Brando,
who's amazing.
Yeah, Marlon Brando, and Al Pacino.
Yeah,
that's like three heavy hitters right there. And then I know that there's other. Like big name guys,
and all throughout the movie, you say, "Oh, I know that person."
Oh yeah, 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 exactly. Strong. So, I don't know if this is a good segue, but I've got a little story to tell.
I love story time with Dave.
I've already told this story to you because I told it to you at the little family gathering.
Oh, okay. Can I take a deep breath here?
Yeah.
Because I'm going to curl up here.
Get your pillow.
Get my big smile on my face. And I'm going to just let you tell this story.
Dude, so it was the Friday that we got off of work. You know, just like any normal work, there's the group of people that'll go out after work and get beers or whatever. And they came up to me and they're like, hey, we're going over to Buffalo Wild Wings after work. And they, like I said, this is Friday. They're like, hey, we're going out to Buffalo Wild Wings to get beers after work. Do you want to come with us? And A, I like beer, and B, I like Buffalo Wild Wings. So I was like, well, yeah, dude, that sounds awesome. So we all go to Buffalo Wild Wings. There's probably about a party of like 15 of us there. We're all just kind of hanging out, drinking, having a good time. I don't like to go hang out for really long extended periods of time after work, though, because one, I need to get home and let my dog out so that we can go to the bathroom. You know, I don't want her peeing all over the floor. Two, I still want to hang out after work. I want to go home.
Yeah.
You know, so
especially on Friday.
Especially on Friday. And it's not just any Friday. It's a Friday that I've got 11 days off.
You've been looking forward,
dude. Yeah,
to this 11 days because
I had been like, oh my god, it had started from the beginning of the month. You know, because we have our little meetings at the beginning of the month during just the day regularly. Then we had to go over our KPI, our key process indicators, and blah blah blah. And seeing the numbers count down daily to that break and you're just like, it's like a slow moving clock that you're sitting there watching the hands tick by. So anyways, it's that Friday. I wanted to go be sociable, get some wings, get some beer, and then go home.
Yeah.
So I went there, got some wings, got some beer, and then I went to go to leave. And as I was going to leave, I noticed this homeless guy. He was standing there, had his arms on the little iron railing on the patio, and he was looking in at everybody, you know, in the restaurant. So it's the Friday before Christmas, right? Mm-hmm. So it kind of got me a little bit. I'm starting to feel that like Christmassy push and like feeling generous and all like this good stuff. And as I walk out, I've actually got to walk by him to get out to my pickup. So I walk by him and of course he stops me and asks me for some cash.
Yeah.
Since I was feeling generous, since it's Christmas, I was like, look, man, I don't have any cash, but I can buy you a meal. I said, do you want something to eat? And he's like, yeah, that would be great. I was like, all right, cool. What do you want on your wings? And he goes, well, I really don't want wings. Do you care if I get a burrito? That's fine, man. I'm feeling generous. Let's do this, man. I'm going to get you a burrito. There's a Chipotle not even a half a mile away, just right around the corner from the Buffalo Wild Wings. So I was like, okay, dude, get in the truck. We'll go over here and we'll go get you a burrito. That's my biggest mistake that I've ever made in my entire life, right there.
Yeah.
Like, don't ever invite anybody into your vehicle that you don't know. I should have known this, but, like, I don't think about situations like this because I'm a big dude, so I don't get the whole, like, I should be scared of this guy. So, yeah, I had to stop, come back, take a breath. Okay. So we get over to Chipotle. I pull up and go to park, and I get right into the parking spot and he's like, I don't really like Chipotle. Can we go over to Taco Casa? And for those outside of Texas or outside of the North Texas area, Taco Casa is
the best.
It is the best. Taco Casa,
fast food.
Whatever you're wanting, fast food, Tex-Mex, fast food, Mexican, whatever you want to call it. Taco Casa cannot be beat. You've got the Taco Bell, the Taco Bueno, and Taco Casa.
And they're all great.
They're all great, but you cannot beat Taco Casa. Mainly it's because they're hot sauce, dude. You cannot beat Taco Casa's hot sauce. Yeah. So we get over to Chipotle, and like I said, I pull into the parking spot, and as soon as I go to throw it in park, and he's like, I really don't like Chipotle. Do you think you care if we go over to Taco Casa? You know what? That's cool. There's a Taco Casa not even a mile away.
Right. On your way home.
On my way home, actually. And you know, honestly, it's right next to, and this might be insensitive, but what I like to call the homeless refugee, because there's a creek down there with a lot of woods. There's shelter and all like this type of stuff. And it is a known area for a lot of homeless people.
Yeah.
So I take him over to this Taco Casa, and as we go to turn in, I'm turning into the driveway of Taco Casa, and he goes, I can't go in here. I can't eat here. They use demons in their ground beef. And I was like, what?
Like, that's was where, like, the record just went,
yeah,
in your brain, right?
Exactly. That's it. In my brain, the record, like, whenever you see that part in the movie where the record scratches and, like, everything comes to a stop,
yeah,
that's exactly what happened. He goes, I can't go in here. I can't go in here. I can't eat here. They use demons in their ground beef. So I don't even stop, dude. I just bust a quick U and I go to pull out back out on U-288. We start going down 288 and he goes, yeah, they use demons in their ground beef. And he goes, I can't eat any more of their ground beef, because if I eat any more of their ground beef, the demons are going to take over my soul. And then if the demons take over my soul, the only way that I can cleanse it is by blood. And I feel like I already need a cleansing. And I'm thinking here at this point in time, I was like, holy crap, this is where I get murdered. This is where I die. I'm going to have some dude lose his crap in my truck, and he's going to stab me in the neck or in the eyeball or whatever. Which, thank you for the knife, by the way. That was freaking awesome.
Like, you just didn't get it. Yeah, you got it a day late.
Yeah, it was like a couple of days. Yeah, it was exactly a day late. So anyways, I was like, holy crap, dude. I'm stuck now. This guy's in my truck. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to get him out. Like, what am I going to do? So, like, I just get the thought in my head. I was like, okay, well, there's only one other Taco Casa in town. I'm going to drive across town. I'm going to take him to that Taco Casa. We're going to go in. We're going to get him some food. And I'm going to get the hell out of there is what's going to happen. So that's what happened. Like, we drive across Denton while he's, like, just speaking, like talking, and like I start going into like I probably did something that I shouldn't have done, because I started talking about how much I love my family and how much my family loves me. I'm trying to humanize myself.
My name's Dave, by the way. Dave. Keep saying your name.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's exactly what I did. I kept saying my name, trying to humanize myself to him, because I'd heard that, like, if you try to humanize yourself to people, like the people that are a little bit crazy, that are serial killers and stuff like that, they have a little bit more tougher of a time because they don't look at you as a person. So you try to humanize yourself to them. So I started talking about family, and I was like, I even mentioned that I have the family Christmas thing that I got to go to tomorrow, but, you know, I'm trying to get word in edgewise while he's talking, and I'm trying to talk. It was just like a bad idea, man. So we get over to 288, or off 288, 380. Get over to 380. We go inside Taco Casa. He orders. I reach over there, swipe my card to pay for it, and, like, he's getting his drink, and before he can even turn around, dude, I'm out the door and, like, in my truck and, like, white smoking the tires to get the hell out of there, dude. Oh, my God. All because I had a little Christmas spirit.
Christmas spirit can get you killed. Oh, my God.
All because I had a little Christmas spirit, and I wanted to do a good deed.
You did a good deed.
I did do a good deed, and I saved him from being, you know, having to purge his soul from the demons.
You know what? If he had ended up at that Taco Casa for the last chance.
Yeah.
He might have gotten demons.
Might have. You know, I started thinking about it also, like, later on. I was like, you know what? I bet that was just his way of getting across town, because
probably
he probably can't go into that Taco Casa anymore, because it is right there next to the homeless refugee. And they probably have booted him out so many times that he's not allowed to come back in there. And he just really wanted free Taco Casa. So he got a free ride out of me by coming up with some crazy stuff.
I think I've heard you tell this story now. At least, well, one, you sent it in a message to us.
Yeah. It was right afterwards that it happened.
And it was amazing. And there's a voice message, right?
Yeah.
So I have that. I heard that. Yeah. And I was like, oh, my God. And I told it to my wife, and my mother-in-law actually was at the house, and I told it to them. Their eyes were like, and I mentioned the demon blood. They were like, wait, what? Everybody. And then the next day, we had a family get together, and you were telling it to, you told it at least once or twice there, and I just never can stop listening to this. I was like, I wish Dave had, you know, a dash cam. If I could have seen the reaction on your face when you pull in a Taco Casa, and the guy said, can't go in there, they use demons in there, be ground beef. I'm like, it's like,
oh, yeah. Yeah. That was really what it was. It was the whole double take almost. Like, I threw out my neck almost from, like, doing the what? Oh, my God. Yeah. It was rough, dude. That was rough.
You survived.
I did survive.
He got some bean burritos or whatever.
Yeah. He actually got two beef burritos, man. So
he got the good beef.
Yeah.
The funny thing is, and I told you, in my opinion,
the one over on 380?
That's the worst one to go to of all the Taco Casas I've been to.
Yeah.
And I hate to say, this is kind of embarrassing. I've been to a lot of Taco Casas in different
places. Good, dude.
Because they're so good.
Yeah.
You know, Gainesville, Denton, Decatur. And Denton has two.
Yeah.
And that one that you took them to there, every time I've ever said, oh, I'm going to go get me a burrito there.
Yeah.
It's always terrible. And it's not that the food is terrible. It's like they don't care.
Yeah.
And they've always got holes when you get it open, and I'm always picking it up in my truck because I'm usually headed home or something. And when I get to where I can eat and I open it up and the burrito is not even hardly wrapped.
Oh,
yeah.
You can't
pick it up. Everything's falling apart.
It's just carelessly slopped on there. You know what? Okay. The worst offense that you can do to a burrito,
yeah,
in my opinion, is have a hole in the tortilla.
Oh, yeah.
Right, because that's I like to call it hull breach, like it's a ship or something like that, you know, because it's like you've now like perforated the hole of the transporter of like, okay, it's like if you had a giant piece of bread missing out of your bread on your sandwich and you've got a really messy sandwich, yeah, that crap's going to come flying out of it if you don't have that, if that hole's there, you know. It's the same thing with a burrito, man. It's
like eating a sloppy Joe with a donut.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, that ain't gonna work.
A sloppy Joe with a donut. That sounds kind of interesting. Sloppy Joe donut. I bet that'd be kind of good on a bagel, maybe.
A bagel, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe write that down as a recipe, trademark.
Throw some trees.
Bagel.
Yes.
Bagel Joes.
Yeah. Bagel Joes. Throw some chorizo in that sloppy Joe mix also, because chorizo to me should go in just about anything.
I want a chorizo barbecue.
Oh, no. I
do. You make your barbecue. I'm talking like the
chopped barbecue.
Chopped barbecue.
Yeah, dude, that's my
throw
favorite.
That in there. Mix it together.
Yeah.
Heat it in whatever way you want to. You can wrap it in a tortilla. You can. That's the beauty of food is you can do anything you want.
Oh, yeah.
You can get a good, you know, ciabatta bun, whatever, or just a plain old white bread.
Oh, yeah.
Throw it in there. That
it's kind of hard to beat a tortilla, though, man.
Yeah.
Kind of hard to beat a tortilla.
Well, that's my favorite. That's my favorite. What would you call that? I mean, bread's great.
Yeah.
But if I have an option, I'm going to want to put it in a tortilla. My wife used to make fun of me.
Oh, really?
To the extent that I would put things in tortillas. You ever have a peanut butter tortilla?
I have not had a peanut butter tortilla.
Put some peanut butter in there, a little honey,
yeah,
wrap it up, and you can actually heat it just a little bit. Magical.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Tortillas
tortillas, and you look worldwide, some people call them tortillas. For other places, it's flatbreads.
Yeah.
Almost every culture in the world
has got some sort of
a flatbread like that that they eat with their meal.
Yeah.
And you can, it's a perfect that way to convey food to your face.
Oh, yeah.
And it's not as much.
It's technically an eating utensil is what it is.
Yeah.
I've the first time I ever saw a tortilla used in the proper way, I guess, is I was in Austin. I was in Austin. I was about like 18, 19 years old. And we had gone to the Kettle. And it was after we'd gone out partying and stuff like that. Because there was this bar. I think it was on 6th Street. It's down off of like, I think it's 7th Street.
Yeah.
But a lot of people didn't go to 7th Street because 7th Street was known. And this is in the early 90s. So gay was still taboo. And, but 7th Street was like where all the gay bars were and stuff like that. But I could go to this one place on 7th Street and drink. So we went to this one place in 7th Street and hung out because I could go there and they'd let me drink or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
So we went to the Kettle afterwards. We go to the Kettle and we're hanging out. And this table that was right next to us was a bunch of Latinos, Mexican dudes, whatever you want to call them. And they're sitting there. And, of course, everybody's getting a breakfast buffet because why else do you go to the Kettle for?
Yeah.
And they're sitting there and they've got their big old stack of tortillas. And they're just taking them and, like, ripping a piece of tortilla off, scooping up some eggs and eating it with that. And I was like, holy crap, is that what
are they doing?
And I was like, I never realized that a tortilla is actually used to like be ripped in pieces. And like,
it's like eating bread and gravy and you use the bread, sausage gravy on the sausage or whatever. And you,
oh dude, that's what's crazy is talking to people and you say something about like, you know, biscuits and gravy for breakfast. And they're like, what? I'm like, oh my God, have you never had the joys of biscuits and gravy for breakfast? It's a
good thing.
It's wonderful. It's almost kind of like I was trying to get all sexy with it. I was like,
I saw that
you were looking down at your phone.
No, I'm not trying to be rude. I'm trying to find my recipe that I had got from those guys when I stayed with these guys and they gave me, I can't find it.
Oh, okay. Was that your,
it was like an adobo.
Oh yeah.
I can't find it.
Hey, who was it that made the brisket for the Christmas thing, man?
That would be our Uncle Sydney.
Oh, okay.
which I did not try because I ate your dad's pulled pork.
Yeah.
Which is pretty darn good.
Yeah, it was, man. My dad can tear up some pork.
He can pull that pork.
Oh, geez. Why don't you go tell him that he can pull that pork?
Oh, Dave. I'm going to have to cut that out. I didn't mean that like that. Dude.
You can't cut that
family,
out.
This is a family.
You can't
show.
Cut that out. That made me laugh.
It's not a good thing.
You know, I just like making it awkward.
Yeah, you're good at that.
It is. We're over an hour, so I guess we can.
Well, it's been so long
since I know
we hung out. It's like we could probably go on for another 2 hours.
I can guarantee you that we can go for another hour.
Yeah.
I just was like, I was like, I know that there's other stuff I need to talk about, but I can't think of what it is right now. So that's the reason why I was like, I don't know.
That's all good.
Yeah.
Good chat.
Yeah, coming up, Expanse.
I was looking here. We got week. Bandersnatch, They Shall Not Grow Old, Great Movies of the Year, Solo. My rant about opinions. And just disregard me. Don't even worry about what I said. Yeah, right. I'm just venting. The Godfather movies.
Yeah.
Dave survives cannibalism. Taco Casa, burritos, bagel joes, and tortillas greatness. The greatness of the tortilla.
The greatness of the tortilla. It is probably the king of bread products.
Yeah.
Yeah. By far. Because not only do they come in flour, but they come in corn.
Corn's great. Yeah. I was a late convert to the corn tortilla. And, you know, if I get a taco,
yeah,
especially like a street taco kind of taco, I'm going for the corn.
It's got to be in corn. Yep. The only way to do a street taco is corn tortilla.
The double, when they do the double.
Oh, yeah. Two to three tortillas for the one taco.
Yeah.
That's how
you know they know what they're doing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And the good, you know what the glory of the corn tortilla is?
Tell me.
If you don't use all the tortillas that you make, you cut them up in little triangles, you fry them, and now you have chips.
Chips.
Glory be to the corn, to the tortilla.
The genius. Right? Great food
like that. Not only can it be used as a sandwich. I've had a tortilla hot dog before where you take the hot dog.
Done that.
You throw some chili on it, cheese on it.
You want to go through the list of things I'm going to use a tortilla for?
Yeah. Because I actually did the thing the other day where you were talking stuff. Right? I just threw some. I didn't put peanut butter. I threw some butter on it, threw some honey on it, and I was looking for cinnamon. I was going to throw some cinnamon on it, but I didn't have any cinnamon, and just heated it up a little bit in the microwave. Got the butter all nice and melty. Rolled it up, boom, beautiful. Okay, let's see. I'm trying to think of other. Okay, what other hot links? You've had to do hot links before.
Actually, I just made my wife a convert to hot links this last week.
Really? Yes. Have you ever thrown German sausage in?
Yes.
The German sausage that your mom brought?
Pretty much if it's a meat in a tubular form, I put it in a tortilla and eat it. Yeah. Yeah. And that should be that. That could be a whole episode on just the greatness of different versions of sausage.
Have you ever taken a corny dog and wrapped it in a tortilla?
No, but I would.
Yeah. I just
don't. But you don't have to because it's breaded already. But, you know, I would do that.
I don't know if I should say this on the show, but that might be our million-dollar idea. The floury tortilla, the floury dog?
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah.
You can take a corn or flour tortilla, wrap it around a hot dog, deep fry it.
Deep fried.
Take that to the state fair. We are champions. And then we make $1 million.
I think so. And the thing is, you put between the tortilla and the corn dog you put a layer of cheese.
And chorizo. Yeah.
Good God, that's a heart attack.
Yeah, that sounds like amazing. Like, at least you'll be happy whenever you die.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've had tortilla burgers.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mexican burgers.
Oh, yeah. Those are actually pretty nice because if you get like the bigger tortillas, like the burrito size tortillas, and you fold them up over top of the beef and stuff like that.
My wife once made this mashed sweet potato kind of dish.
Yeah.
And put that on tortilla.
That sounds weird.
That one, she raised an eyebrow at me like, really? You're going to put it on tortilla? I'm like, I'm going to try it. And it didn't turn out too good.
Yeah, you're like, man, I made the Thanksgiving.
It's like putting mashed potatoes on it. I wouldn't do that.
Yeah, that's just too far, man.
Unless there was gravy and meat.
Well, see, that's what I was about to say, like the Thanksgiving Day tortilla where you take like
the turkey
and you take the dressing and you take some cranberry sauce and some candied yams or something like that, roll them up in a tortilla and eat your Thanksgiving dinner like that.
And if you wrap it right, it's portable. You don't have to have a plate.
Exactly. That's my problem, though. Whenever I make, whenever I make burritos here at the house,
yeah,
you got to cook up your stuffing,
yeah,
and then whatever goes in there, and then whenever I get all that done, I take it and then I stuff the burrito full, whatever. But I'm like staring at the tortilla and the stuffing and like making the original stuffing and all like that. That's what all you're putting in your burrito.
Yeah, yeah.
I suck at that judgment. Like, I always overstuff or make too much stuff for it, which is cool because now you've got a burrito and you've got like the extra stuffing that you've cooked too much of. So now you can eat that too.
It's hard to know.
Yeah. But dude, the only way to really do it is like you take your burrito, you put all your stuff inside of it, and you take your butter, coat the outside of it with some butter, throw it back in the pan, and grill it. Good golly. And then you got to get the Valentina's hot sauce.
No.
Got to get the Valentina's hot sauce.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, the Valentina's is on point. On point, man.
Thank you, Valentina's hot sauce.
Yeah, this episode is not brought to you by Valentina's hot sauce, but we are full supporters of Valentina's hot sauce.
Yeah.
But it is brought to you by Audible.com.
Audible.
You go by www.nerdylegion.com/audible.
Yeah.
Sign up for your 1 month free and get 2 free books. You don't have to keep the subscription, but you get to keep the books, and you're going to because they have a ton of stuff. And whenever you get into it, you're just going to be like, oh man, this is amazing. Yeah. Also, just go by Nerdy Legion. Go check out the other podcasts that are out there.
Yeah.
I know there's a ton of them. Like, it seems like every time I turn around,
there's something new.
Yeah. But what is the Bat Pod?
There's a new one, Shell Shocked, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle.
Really?
My buddy Paul and the great, I don't know if you've heard the Bat Pod, the great Joey Galvez,
who is
the, he's right up there with Jay Loving with the smoothest voice of the Nerdy Legion podcast. Very. He knows, that's the sucker who knows how to produce a show. I mean,
oh really?
He knows how to put sound elements in there. He is the most professional of all the shows on the network.
Really?
So definitely check it out just to see how good he does.
I'm gonna check that out.
The Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle show. I listened to the first one. Actually, it's the second one. They did one where they took over the Paul and Michael Occasionally Saves the World.
Oh, okay.
Nonsense that Paul and I do because I don't know why anybody want to listen to us talk. But I do recommend listening to them talk. I don't have a great knowledge of the Ninja Turtles. I've read some of the first volumes of the original and the new IDW runs.
Yeah.
Good, fun stories, but their knowledge, you cannot go away from listening to the first episode without having gained a lot of knowledge and some appreciation for, maybe I should check out the Ninja Turtles a little bit farther down the line.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm going to have to check that out because I've always, the Ninja Turtles are just a wee bit, after my age of stuff like that, but I always loved the movies and things like that. So yeah, I'm definitely gonna have to check out some Shell Shock then.
You'll be surprised at how many different iterations there have been of them.
Oh yeah.
From their origin as a kind of an indie rag comic these guys did by themselves.
Yeah.
To what it is now with the big multi million-dollar blockbuster movies and all games and stuff.
Yeah. Well, I remember one of the first, I think I was in eighth grade when the first movie came out.
Yeah.
And I remember because the reason why I remember that is because a buddy of mine, Scott King, who later became known as Stephen King because Stephen was his first name, his actual name. Whenever we first moved here, he wanted to go by Scott. And then whenever we got to high school, he wanted to be called Stephen because it gave him a creepy author-y feel. But that was the 90s. So people did stuff like that. Plus weird kids in high school. We do weird stuff like that. So anyways,
let's be honest, we still do.
So whenever you first came here, that was about one of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles was really starting to hit, and they had the movie come out and all like this, and the action figures were on the shelf, and I spent the big part, I will say he came here in sixth or seventh grade, and I started drawing Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles around seventh grade, and so the whole seventh and eighth grade and even early freshman year of high school, I drew a lot of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Okay.
A lot of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
You have to find some of that.
I've got a bunch of old stuff that I've drawn and all like this crap. And like whenever I was in theater and even like football and stuff like that, like I've got playbooks that have just a ton of doodles all over them because we'd be supposed to be sitting there like studying our playbook. And I didn't study the playbook. I just drew all over everything and stuff.
Can I digress again? Can I go off the rails? Can I make this the longest?
No, go right ahead.
Never the ending to anything.
I was about to say, I've got another episode that me and Adam recorded yesterday that's an hour and 45 minutes.
Oh, sweet. Okay.
So we've got two.
That's good.
Yeah.
We will.
We're going to come out in 2019 hitting it hard.
Yeah. So my oldest daughter, she's interested in film and theater, and she's thinking about being involved like in the creative end of like writing or producing or whatever jobs are out there. She's interested in that.
Yeah.
Not as in just that plays and stuff. And she's interested in what are considered the best movies. So one of the movies she's been wanting to watch is Lady Bird.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Okay. She wanted to watch Lady Bird because it's one of the Oscar contenders from the last year. And she really into it. And plus, I've heard good things about it. Hey, it's a good movie. But you talking about your playbooks. And this is not going to be too big of a spoiler. But one of the best parts of that entire movie was when they had a replacement of drama teacher. And this is a religious Catholic school, so they had nuns and priests as the teachers, of course.
Yeah.
And so this priest, who is also the JV football coach, gets tasked with becoming the drama teacher. And when he is walking through the cast about the play, one of the funniest things I've ever watched was him with his chalkboard, drawing the lines like a football play, and the cast is just sitting there wide-eyed and trying to take down everything because he is burning through this entire play. And this is where this happens. And it's just genius. It was a genius just for nothing else but that one scene that movie was worth watching.
I'll have to watch it then. That sounds awesome.
Oh, God.
My drama teacher, my one-eyed director, all like that stuff. She was not, she definitely wasn't athletic or anything like that, but it was like, I could totally see the correlation between the two, like the coach and then the director / drama teacher or whatever, just because like, it's kind of almost the same person, except for the drama teacher / director is going to be a little bit more forgiving whenever it comes to feelings. Whereas the coach is going to be very more hard nosed and stuff like that. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, suck it up, buttercup. Get back up there.
Yeah, exactly.
You'll get through it this time.
Yeah, exactly. That's freaking awesome. I'll have to check that out. Sounds awesome. Where'd y'all watch that at? Was that on Amazon or whatever?
Amazon.
Oh, you know what I watched for the first day, first time ever? What's yesterday? That? Alien. The very first Alien movie. I'd never seen it before.
Really?
Yeah. I'd seen like all the other Aliens movies. I love the series itself. Like, you know, Aliens, you know, the second one where the Colonial Marines, the third one with Rock or the dude that was in the show Rock where they're in the prison or whatever. Then the weird one with Winona Ryder where they have the weird alien clone thing or whatever. That's the fourth one. Then whatever, the Alien Predator stuff.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one, but yeah. And that's one of those things I've been kind of like, I keep seeing Alien pop up. I got like, I need to go back and rewatch at least the first couple just because I remember it being so good.
Oh, yeah.
And what was the tagline for the first one? In space, they can't hear you.
Yeah, in space, no one can hear you scream. Right. Yeah. Yeah, because I was sitting there because I messaged you the other day about these Audible has these free things that you can get. You get two of them a month along with your regular credit.
Yeah, you got a choice of about like six, and it can be sometimes it's fiction, sometimes it's nonfiction.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's, there's one that has Billy Crudup. That's one of the ones I got.
Okay.
The actor, I don't know if you remember who he is. He's doing a one-man play, and they recorded it.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
And the other one was Alien-related.
Yeah, the other one was Alien-related. In fact, I can pull those up real fast. Let me... I've got the new iPhone XR.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, and like I said, I basically had to. My other one was such a piece of crap, dude, that, like, seriously, like, whenever I went to go and, like, say somebody called me while I was... You know, say somebody called me and like while I was on the phone, my screen went to lock screen. So it was like all black or whatever for me to hang up. It wouldn't come back up out of the lock screen.
Yeah.
For me to hang up, I'd have to do a hard reset on my phone for me to like hang up and stuff like that. So it was a six. It was basically a piece of crap. But
yeah.
Like,
yeah.
So I got something new. The two that I got, one was Alien Out of the Shadows and then Christmas Eve 1914. Really good. Really, really good.
You can listen to it.
And it was it's total fiction. It's based on the whole.
No, I did give that one.
Okay, yeah.
Okay.
It's total fiction, and it's based on the whole impromptu ceasefire of 1914 at Christmas, where they kind of like came together, met on no man's land, and said like, "Hey, let's take an hour. We're going to bury our dead." You know, since it's Christmas, and then so they took an hour, buried their dead, and then next thing you know, they were out playing football in the middle of no man's land, right, and stuff with the Germans and the British.
Can
and stuff.
I bring some to go back full circle and tie, put a neat little bow on the show?
Yeah.
Going back to the main, most important thing we've talked about today is they shall not grow old.
Oh, yeah.
Remember the camaraderie between the German prisoners and the British soldiers?
Oh, yeah.
How the German soldiers were willingly helping them out, doing things?
Yeah, willingly carrying injured British soldiers back from the front.
Not like looking to escape.
Yeah.
Like, okay, we're here now. I'm going to help you out.
Yeah.
No hard feelings. That's kind of the way it is. And that's another thing that really hit me. Like, those guys are not, no one's even guarding these guys.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was just like, okay, well, now we've been captured. Well, so
think about it. Okay. I'm over here. They're not going to make me run out there and get shot. I'm in the safest place I can be.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That just occurred to me when you brought up the Christmas. I think they even mentioned that.
Yeah. They did bring that up in the film.
I chose my selections for this month were, I got a White Knight, and I guess I didn't choose one last month.
Oh, White Knight's a good one.
The next book in the Dresden Files, which I got to tell you, I'm hit or miss with Harry Dresden stories because there's some elements in it. I'm like, do you really got to do that?
Yeah.
But the payoff for everything is always such a good way he ties everything together. And I'm always trying to figure out, you know, the little mystery. And then the other one I got was The Crying of Lot 49 by Thomas Pynchon.
Okay.
And then I went and bought for $5 because you don't waste credit on something for me.
No.
Waiting for Godot. So I got three to listen to.
Okay. No. Waiting for Godot?
It's a play by Samuel Beckett.
Okay. I was about to say, that sounded really familiar.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a funny.
Dude, I tell you.
Nonsensical, deep,
one of the best things. One of the best things I ever got on Audible was a recording of The Importance of Being Earnest.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. And it was just a free kind of like the things, and it was actually James Marsters was one of the characters in the play. Yeah,
he is great.
Yeah, and he's great. He's the narrator of the Dresden Files or whatever. But and so like I always just go check Audible because they've always got like free things that's there for you to download and check out or whatever. I know I kiss Audible's butt a lot, but I love that. That's
you
probably
know, the free options are just great, though, because, you might hesitate at paying, the $15 a month, $14, but it lowers the cost even more. Let's say the book you're choosing, and I'm not doing this to promote them, really. No. I'm just saying I love it.
I can tell you right now that if I had to choose, like if money was really hard for me and I'm down to Netflix or Audible, I would probably turn off Netflix before I turned off Audible.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah. Just because, like, there's so much more offered with Audible. Like, there's so many more perks, so many more benefits. There's all sorts of free things that you can get, like, every month. And then whenever they do, like, the seasons, whatever you have, like, the holidays or whatever, there's all sorts of free stuff that they give out. Like, I got a copy of Sleepy Hollow for free that was narrated by
I missed that.
Yeah, well, this has been a couple of years ago.
Okay.
But it was narrated by Tim Curry, who's amazing, by the way, or was amazing. I know he's had a stroke and has some issues and stuff like that or whatever. But, like, Tim Curry doing The Legend of Sleepy Hollow, freaking awesome, man. Awesome. Yeah, exactly. So, you know,
good stuff.
Oh, most certainly. But yeah, we're pulling up to close to 1:30 now, so I'm gonna
stop talking.
No, you're good. I mean, like,
shoot you.
Yeah, all right.
Well, shoot you. I got a nephew. Wow, man. I got a nephew that's in love with trains and Thomas the Train. Shoot you.
Oh, okay.
Shoot you train.
Which one is that? Is that Milton's kid?
No, it's on my wife's side of the family.
Oh, okay. No, I was about to say, I figured his was a little bit
older. I'm not going
to
talk about the mother of this one. The boy's a good kid.
Okay, I think I know exactly whose mother that one is. But anyways, I think that's going to wrap it up. So if you get a chance, go by, like us on Twitter, follow us on Facebook, send us an email. It's the number 2BTShow@gmail.com, the number 2BTShow@gmail.com. Twitter It's the same thing. You just dropped the gmail.com. It's the number 2 BT show. That's 2 BT show. Go by, rate us, write us a review on whatever outlet that you're listening to. It's weird. I can hear the dog walking in the hallway, and I don't think it really picks up audibly through the microphones.
Sometimes it does.
Yeah, I know you can hear it sometimes in the background, but now with wearing the headphones, like, I'm hearing everything, and it kind of like throws me off at times. So it totally just like threw me off because I could hear Sally walking up and down the hallway. Anyways, go by, rate us, write a review. Just be kind. Remember, we like 5 stars. Please be nice. That's all I'm saying. But we appreciate it either way, because the more reviews that we get, the more easier it is for people to find us. And I don't know. You know, I just want to get the word out. I don't know what to say. With that being said, I'm David.
I'm Michael.
2BT. Signing out.
Adios.
Bye. Good day.
Thank you. You're too generous. Oh, thank you. Oh, really, that's too much,
I don't say goodbye. I say may the force be with you.
Awesome. Later, guys.
Oh,
geez. Oh, heck yeah. I'm just rubbing all over my lips.
Use your mind. You don't use your body. Where do we go with this?
I don't know. But... Exactly. That's 2BT style as we go off the rails all the blasting time.
I don't know if I should say that.
Nope. Hey, you know.
It's going to get me in trouble.
Yeah, right. These views are not shared by the team.
Good Lord. What? What makes me this way? It is hot. It is hot. So hot. Kind of like me. It is hot.
Yeah, I like fish sticks. I like putting fish sticks in my mouth.
Hot
fish sticks.
Good God. Oh. Something went wrong somewhere or something went right somewhere.
Right.
There's a naked chicken there.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I used to love her. But I had to kill her. I used to love her. Oh, yeah, but I had to kill her.
Hey, I mean, well, I love you in all sense of the word, all of y'all. But whatever. I'm the jerk that wrote a 1,000,000-word prequel to the real story.
I don't know mine.
That whole alphabet thing confused. Right.
Oh, just do like I do. Give up. Just give up on everything. I don't care. The environment's dying. I don't care. Just give up.
Oh, my.
This is fun for anybody listening. But oh, my God. Got a play to win, man.
I wanna make love to you, woman. I wanna lay you down by the fire, caress your womanly body, make it moan and perspire.
Yeah. Water rum, sugar rum.
Boom, boom, boom.
I can either A, clinch it, and hope that my body just reabsorbs it. Maybe it'll turn into a burp. burp, burp, burp. Are you ready for your vasectomy?
Mike, edit this out.
Yeah. I want to be captain of the committee that makes sure you guys don't F this up.
I swear to God, dude, it came out with a vengeance, too. I don't know.
Oh, my God.
I don't know. I'm like the...
Yeah, it's glorious. Santa Claus is real.
Oh, well, look, he's not that bad of a dude.
Straight to the fart noises.
There's only one day.
He's a little guy, red hair, that, he likes to sing and play his lute.
I don't know, maybe it's my upbringing or something.
I don't know, like, it's just fun. I'm texting. Be like, oh, well, you know, my feet are better than your feet.
And you're an old man and pretty much done.
There you go.
Dude.
Everything's better with reverb.
Oh, yeah. Excellent.
Giant lump of wet dough. Okay.
Where are you from? When I was like, Texas.
Oh, whoa. How dare you say that to little Timothy?
Yeah.
This, by the way, spoilers.
Hey. I guess it's the Texas thing.
I love my family.
Excellent.
Oh, you want to be a tough guy? I'll be a tough show what tough is.
Go home. Dude, you mind if I sit over here? And he's like, dude, knock yourself out, man. Well, it must be a Texas thing. Don't do that, by the way.
I'm having a brain freeze. Oh, no. And I'm like,
Ujaba of the heebie-jeebies. Face down in a gutter. No one admit defeat those of the...
Well, this is not good.
Like, dude, I love it. I love it all.
Whoa, dude. Oh, my God.
Star Wars guys are crazy.
My butt has a cannon.
If you're going to go out, that's the way to do it.
I dig it. It belongs in a museum. Oh, dude, hurry up and get here.
Yeah. The man in black fled across the desert, and the gunslinger followed.
The Last Jedi. Run-DMC.
Han, Luke, and Leia.
R2 and 3PO.
Rey, Finn.
Yoda, Kenobi.
Poe.
Do or do not, there is no try. Well,
Chewbacca has to die.
The Palpatine.
Betray you.
Chewbacca. You know, R.A. Salvatore.
This is a good guy, this is a bad guy. This is a good guy, this is a bad guy.
Go.
Dang it.
Crap, I'm just, like, stuttering and rambling there. Beans are a wonderful fruit. The more you eat, the more you toot. The more you toot, the better you feel, so eat beans with every meal. I have a belief that if the more you fart, the longer you'll live.
No! You don't stop playing because you get old.
Yeah.
You get old because you stop playing.
That wasn't terrible.
That was pathetic. Boo.
Nerdy Legion.
NerdyLegion.com.
America. Center of equal daughters, equal sons, all alike and dear, grow ungrown, young or old, strong, ample, fair, enduring, capable, rich, perennial with the earth, with freedom, law, and love.
My